Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. I want to welcome you to Crown Talking Drums, Blog Talk Radio, and it is where the Apostle Willie J. Armstrong is founder and CEO, and I am your host tonight, Evangelist Renee. It is such a joy to just be here and to be able to spend my evening at this moment with you all. I am excited about this discussion. Maybe I've gotten a little too excited because I lost my place. Amen. In the scripture. However, I want to just briefly tell you about tonight's discussion. I'm going to start off in a moment in prayer, but this discussion was inspired by me. It kind of really touches the heart because one of my nephews asked me to address this topic, and I'm not quite sure of the name, but the Spirit of the Lord, how he asked me, my nephew asked me to, he worded this topic. He said, he posed this question. He said, Auntie, how is it when every time a man fell in the Bible that it resulted from a woman? I believe that's how he put it. And I had to really think about that. I said, every time a man fell in the Bible, it resulted from a woman. Whoa. And I wrestled and I tussled with this for a while. But thanks be to Elohim. Thanks be to God, our creator. I am going to let the Spirit answer this question, and I'm just going to be the vessel and sit back. So right now I'm going to go into prayer. I'm going to go into prayer. Father God, Elohim, our creator, we worship you. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you thanks and praise because this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, Father God, we thank you. We come before you thanking you. I come before you thanking you, oh God, for all your marvelous works. For, Father, everything that anyone has a question to be answered, something to be revealed that they just don't understand. Stand, oh Lord, your word addresses every problem, every situation we might encounter, oh Lord. And so I want to ask you, Father, to take me out of self. Use me to your glory, O Lord. Let the words that I speak not be spoken by me, O Lord, not by my perception, O Lord, but, Lord, let it come from you, O Lord. Let it be the words that you have planted in my heart through study, O God. Let it be the words that you will have your children to hear, O God, your people to hear, O God. Let it be for the edifying of your people, O Lord, not to glorify me, O God, but to glorify you in everything and everything. Situation that we encounter. This I ask in the mighty name of Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And at this time, I am going to go into a scripture. I'm going to go into a scripture from, Exodus, the book of Exodus. And if I can pull the scripture up. Oh, no, did I lose it? One moment, be patient with me, please. I'm going to read this scripture. I'm going to start in Exodus 34 and 23 to 24. And I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. The New International Version. That is Exodus 34:23 to 24. And it reads as such. Three times a year, all your men are to appear before the sovereign Lord, the God of Israel. I will drive our nations before you and enlarge your territory, and no one will covet your land. No one will covet your land. And I'm going to also read that same scripture, because I don't believe I got the whole gist of it. So I'm going to read it from another version, another translation, excuse me, of the scripture. I'm going to go into, the New King James Version. The New King James Version, and I'm just going to go into that very same chapter 34, and read that same, and it reads basically the same. But what I really wanted to point out here in that scripture, and I think I've just kind of lost my place. But what I wanted to point out is that, actually, if you read that whole entire chapter, okay, I know what I did wrong. Excuse me. I want to read Isaiah chapter 3, and I'll tell you what scripture I would like to go into. I am sorry for the confusion, but it is Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Bear with me, please. Isaiah chapter 3, and it is, no, why am I pulling up the wrong one? Isaiah chapter 3. Oh, thank you, thank you. Isaiah chapter 3. Come on. Okay, this is it. Thank you, Jesus. What this chapter, where I want to start off, I want to start off where it goes into the sixth verse. I'm going to start off at the sixth verse, and then I'm just going to elaborate on what that particular scripture is talking about, 6, and perhaps I'll go to 7. Okay, Isaiah chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. A man will seize, and I am reading again from the New International Version. A man will seize one of his brothers in his father's house and say, "You have a cloak. You be our leader. Take charge of the heap of the ruins." But in that day he will cry out, "I have no remedy. I have no food or clothing in my house. Do not make me the leader of my people." And I'm just going to go up to, I'm going to go up to the first verse. And just bear with me as I'm reading. It says, "See how the Lord Almighty is about to take from Jerusalem and Judah all the supplies of food and all the supplies of water, the hero and the warrior, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captor of the 50 and the men of rank, the counselor, the skilled craftsman, the clever. I will make mere youths their officials. Children will rule over them. People will oppress each other. Man against man, neighbor against neighbor. The young will rise up against the old, the nobody against the honored." When you read that chapter, what it is basically saying is man will fail. It's saying children will rebel and women take over. And it says men become weak. It's telling us men will become weak. Woe. So the Bible holds men responsible and both accountable. And when I say that, when we read back in the book of Genesis, it is important for us to understand that the first human being was Adam and Eve, first human beings were Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve weren't created at the same time. God created man first. I want you to keep that in mind. Adam and Eve were not created at the same time. God created man first. Now, I just want to also make some critical points that address some critical points that my nephew mentioned when he said, tell me, why is it that every time in the scripture, in the Bible, when a man fell, it was at the result of a woman? Well, man fell constantly in the Bible, but there are maybe six or seven scriptures that really specify man falling, man being tempted, not falling, but being tempted by a woman. And I'm not going to go into each scripture, but I will mention the scriptures, and when you, at your leisure, you can read them. There was Adam by his wife Eve. Although Eve was the first mention of a woman being tempted by Satan. Adam, by his wife Eve, he was tempted. That would be Genesis 3 and 6. Then there was Abraham by Sarah. That would be Genesis 16, 2 through 5, I believe. Then there was Joseph by Potiphar's wife. He was tempted. Read it for yourselves. Genesis 39 and 7 through 19. That's Genesis 39, 7 through 19. Samson, he was tempted by Delilah. That would be Judges. 16, 6 through 20, Ahab by his wife Jezebel. 1 Kings chapter 21 and 7. If I tried to go into each of these chapters, it would be much too wordy and lengthy to read. But I want you to read it for yourself. Then there was Job. He was tempted by his wife. Just curse God and die. Job 2 through 9. Now, those are the scriptures that actually mention the tempting of being persuaded. From a decision, from serving God, to doing things God's way, that a woman tried to tempt man. But then I want to go back to what I said in the beginning before I started that. I want to address Adam and Eve were not created at the same time. God created man first. Thereafter, God created man. Thereafter, God created man in Genesis 2, 15 through 18. It reads as such. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it, to be a steward or a landlord of the to give a better description. Nonetheless, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, if you go back to Genesis 1, it kind of is kind of confusing between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. But in Genesis 2, God is giving specific directions to the man and the woman. So we see here that God gave Adam the command first. God let man know the repercussions of his actions if he did not obey his will. He didn't speak. Remember, we're going on, because in chapter 2, he's giving Adam a specific instruction, and he's giving Adam responsibility. Now, that's chapter 15, chapter 2 in Genesis. I read 15 to 17. Now, I'm going to read 18. And 18 goes on to say, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, this is coming from the New King James Version. Now, remember, in chapter 2, these are specific responsibilities that the Lord is giving to each one. He's addressing Adam in Genesis chapter 2, 15 through 17. Now he is creating woman. And because he says it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. When I looked up that word comparable in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word means in regards to persons similar, likened. Ladies, we are similar. We are likened to man. It does not mean we are equal to man. We are equal to man. We are not inferior. God made all of us in his image and his likeness. He has no respect of person. He is not partial to one over the other. if we venture a little deeper into different translations of that same scripture, that word comparable, when we look into different translations, for instance, the Berean Study Bible says, the Lord God also said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a suitable helper, In Young's literal translation, it says, and Jehovah God said, not good for the man to be alone. I do make him an helper as his counterpart. Okay? And then I want to read the last translation I want to pick up is, it says, I'm going to read this one from the Holman Christian, Standard Bible. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper as his completeness. So we find that the woman, we are amazing. We can do a thousand things at one time. We are always thinking. We are always the one who will listen, who can do multitask at one time. But the man is the responsible one for the household, for the marriage, he's supposed to really be the breadwinner. Yes, but now we are in a different environment and a different stage of life. The woman, now we want to, we make just as much money as the man, or sometimes more. But that doesn't take away the responsibility of the man. So let me get back to this topic. As I stated before, God did not create both Adam and Eve at the same time. He created Adam first. God showed and gave man his responsibility. Man received his responsibility and duty and consequences of his rebellion act if it was to carry out. This teaches us that God holds men responsible as stewards, as guardians, as the keeper, the leader over the union between man and woman. And I'm going to address that in another angle in a moment. So then when man abandons his responsibility, when he abandons the household, when he abandons his obedience to God, women have great difficulty being the counterpart. She was created to be the helpmate. Children, do not have role models, male role models, as a unit to lead and guide them in the way they should go. Yes, the woman can do it, but man created, God created man first and woman. He gave woman, he created woman so that man would have a counterpart. Children, it is important that our children be led from childhood through youth unto adulthood. Although they are their individual person, they still need guidance. They still need their parents to guide them. There are some that are fortunate, blessed, not fortunate, blessed. Some children have lost both parents, either through death or just being abandoned. Nobody but God carries them through. Men, when mankind fell in Genesis 3, in chapter 3 of Genesis, God, he didn't call out to both Adam and Eve. He didn't call Adam and Eve and say, "Where are you both? Where are you both?" No, he said, he called out, "Adam, where are thou? Where are you? Where are you?" He didn't call Adam and Eve. He didn't say, "Eve, where are you?" He said, "Adam, where are you?" God established his covenant. In the Old Testament, God established his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph in the beginning. Not Sarah, not Rebecca, not Rachel. Men were called upon to be the ultimate responsible person. Don't take my word for it. Research it. Research it in the scripture. Research it on Google yourself. Just research it. Let's turn to I'm gonna read. You can read this again at some point in your Bibles. I'm going to turn to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 23. Verse 23 to 24, that was the one I was beginning to read. God assembles, as I read, he assembles the people together. He is calling the people together, the people of Israel. Remember, he's trying to establish a nation. And when he calls the people together, he tells them three times in the year, "All men, all your men," he says. Listen to this. He says three times in the year, "All your men shall appear before the Lord, the God of Israel." And then he goes on to say, he says, "For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God three times a year." So He has called them together, men, women, and he is telling them, I'm going to call on your men. Again, he places the responsibility in the man's hand. Jesus is the foundation of all our relationships, of the church. He is the foundation of the union of marriage, our relationship with man and woman. He is the foundation of it between man and woman. And a foundation, when we look at us, a foundation, he is a strong foundation. He is a rock. He makes everything stable in our lives. If we build the house on solid ground, a house, a marriage is like just building a house. If you build it on solid ground, your relationship must be built on the rock, Jesus, or else it will be unstable. It will be unstable. That has nothing to do with a woman tempting the man or a man tempting the woman. It starts from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of everything we do. He is the head of the church. He is the head of our relationship. He is the head of relationship between man and woman, between the world. And he's the truth, the way, the life. We can't do anything or hope to have any, have an abundant life or have a relationship with God unless we place Jesus Christ ahead of everything. He directs our relationship, a closer relationship with the Father. And just like he does with us between God and man, he does it with the church. The leader is under under Jesus Christ, the messenger, the leader, as it talks about in Revelation, the book of Revelation, I believe, chapter 1, starting off between 1 and 2. Jesus is the foundation of every relationship. Relationship between man and woman, the union, that's where marriage begins. So, to address my nephew's question, man felt time and time in the scriptures, throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. Man fell. Man and woman fell. I'm not just picking on man, I'm picking on women too. But it wasn't that, although we can pinpoint certain scriptures where it specifically tells us that woman tempted the man, God gave man the responsibility. He didn't have to follow Eve. He didn't have to eat of the apple. The serpent tempted Eve. And what did Adam say when God asked him, have you eaten of the tree of not of good and evil? And he immediately said, that woman you gave me. She gave me the apple and I did eat. And then he looked and he's talking to Eve and Eve says, the serpent beguiled me. So what I'm saying is, it wasn't disobedience being tempted by a specific man or a woman that caused man to fall. It was his disobedience to God, disobedience to his responsibility that he was given first. That's what happens in the scripture when man falls. That's what happens in our lives right now. God is looking for strong men. Men who will stand up and who will be obedient to God's will. Because that is the only way any relationship can be stable. He's calling on all of us as a whole, as a union. That's the only way we can lead our children. We've got to turn to Jesus Christ. We've got to do the will of God, Elohim. We've got to build our relationship on Yeshua, the rock, the foundation that won't fall, that won't become unstable. That's the only way that we can fall. That is the only way that man or woman falls, is because we don't build our relationship initially on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to open the phone lines right now. I don't know if anyone's on the line. I'm going to open this phone line right now. Let's see. Good evening. Can someone hear me? Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, Evangelist.
Good evening, my sister, Minister Phyllis. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I got off to a little rocky start. But this discussion had been on my mind so long until I wanted to address it. So what are your thoughts?
It's a very interesting subject matter that needs to be deeply studied, and I appreciate the information you brought forth in studying this. One thing popped into my mind, and I can't prove it to be fact or not, but this particular tree that they were told to stay away from, I just have to imagine that the fruit that was on it didn't look like any other fruit.
Oh, yes. You have to remember, everything was perfected. Everything was beautiful. Even the serpent was beautiful.
So I'm thinking this particular fruit that was offered just didn't look like the other fruit that was okay to eat. That's just the thought that popped up into my mind. And I believe Adam was at fault because he is the head. He's the priest of his home. And I have concerns about Eve and her listening to the serpent and taking the serpent's advice when she gave it to Adam. I think there should have been some discussion between Adam or Eve, or Eve should have said, the serpent suggested that we eat this and we won't surely die. I just feel like there should have been more discussion. I often find in life that a lot of people don't want to go to my husband directly and ask a question or have a conversation. So they come to me, the woman, and they depend on me to get to my husband, whatever the subject matter is. And so I think this is the same approach the serpent took in not going directly to Adam, because he knew Adam would cut him down. But going through the woman. And those are just my thoughts right now. A very, very interesting subject matter on tonight.
Well, you know something, I just want to say, is there anyone else on the line that want to have a discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to, I agree with the young lady that just spoke, and I'd like to take it one step further. Adam manipulated Eve into doing what he wanted to do all along. So the he used Eve as a scapegoat because God told Adam, don't you bother. And Adam was looking at that food. It looked good and it looked good. So through Eve, if the serpent would have spoken to him, I think he would have wound up doing the same thing.
Okay. You're right.
All right.
Well, you know, I want to say this. Let's look at it this way. God is a planner. Everything that happens in the scripture, in the Bible, God knows what is going to happen before we even know it. He knows it today. He knows our every thought. It all sounds good, but it doesn't neglect the fact that God gave Adam that first responsibility. Just like you said, the tree and everything was desirable. The serpent was cunning and scheming, and just like he is today.
Right.
But that doesn't neglect what God told Adam. And that is what we have to kind of look at.
Amen.
When God created everything, God is a master of everything. He is a master planner. I always tell you, he in Genesis 3:16, he had a contingency plan already in effect, because he knew man was going to fall. He knows man is weak. He knows woman to a certain degree is weak. We are good listeners, just like you were talking about your husband, Minister Sharon.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes, people will tend to come to the woman first. We good
uh-huh.
negotiators. We good talkers. Come on, Apostle. You gotta agree. We are.
Mm-hmm.
I
agree, and I disagree.
Okay.
And the reason man, I believe woman is stronger than the Bible, than the man wants her to be. Man
okay.
wrote, and it was written during the time, that culture, where men was in control. So
that's right.
They could not
mm-hmm.
have a woman equal, and even
mm-hmm.
in decision making. And one of
mm-hmm.
the things right now, they say that women, whenever the money is transferred, well, in other words, women are the one that controls the money in this country, because
okay.
the man and left the money to her, but.
Mm-hmm.
Man has told her, you don't know how to manage money. Therefore,
mm-hmm.
you have to give your money to us so we can manage it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right.
what I see playing over and over as well.
Over and over.
And the,
mm-hmm.
and the other one, I take exception to the other one.
Okay.
Abraham wasn't tested. Abraham, Sarah told Abraham, based on that culture, she told Abraham, go into my handmaid and procreate a child.
That was part of that
culture back then.
Yes.
So he went along with it. And if Sarah would have chilled out, she would have had that child. But she,
amen.
And if you look in the Bible, that same scenario get repeated over and over and over.
Over again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
you're
it's
right.
sad.
It is sad.
What is your
say the solution that you feel to rectify all of this problem?
Oh, the problem that was rectified is we allow women to be what the creative created them to be, a
mm-hmm.
helpmaker, not, and then go to the lady for information and sit down and have a discussion and then value their opinion. And
okay.
and see, the other reason, the reason that I say that, I go fast forward to the New Testament. Who
mm-hmm.
took care of Jesus? It was the woman, not the men. The men were cowards.
Uh huh.
The men were hiding out.
Okay.
The men feared.
That's right.
But the women
That's
were
right.
not. They went and took care of the master.
That's right.
So that's where I
mm-hmm.
had taken the position I take.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's what makes these discussions. I like it when we have participation, because everybody can, you know, point out their view.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it, my view is not word. It is God's
yeah.
view. God's view. But I look at it like this. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have to put God first. We
uh-huh.
have to put God first in everything we do. If we don't, relationships will fall, church will fall, all of it will fall. We will
yes.
fall.
Yes.
If we don't put God first, it is not the responsibility of your one person. It is responsibility of us as a union, as the Creator's children,
uh-huh.
to put God first. So anyway, I'm going to close out in prayer. I thank you for joining me tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I give you thanks, honor, and praise. I come to you lifting you up, oh God, touching your word, oh God, and asking you, oh God, to let it seep down in our hearts, oh God. Let us research the scripture, oh God. That's what it's for us to research and live by the instructions and the will that you have given us, oh God. Oh, Father, you desire that none of us perish, oh God, none of us, and that you have a purpose and a plan for our lives. Oh, Father, you don't desire us, oh God, to be alone, oh God. Oh, Father, right here, right now, you offer abundant life for us, oh God. Yeah. Oh, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we're asking, oh God, that you give us creating us clean hearts and renewing us a right spirit, oh God. Renewing us a right spirit, oh God. Let us not just lean and depend on the world, Lord. Let us not lean and depend on the world, oh God. But let us learn to continue to lean on you, oh God, and look up to you for all our strength and all our help, oh God. Because it can't come from any other, oh God. We pray this in Jesus' name, oh God. Father, Lord, bless every a home that's represented on this line, oh God. Bless us all, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen and amen. And I bid you all shalom.
Amen.
Shalom. Thank you for joining tonight, oh God. Thank you. Thank you. Good evening.
Evening.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.